The next contestants on Let's Make Some Jobs, President Obama and Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, the president isn't the only one giving a big economic speech today. The Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke, is too, and his might have a more immediate impact. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are lower this morning. The Dow down 39 points, about 0.3% at 11,375. The NASDAQ also down about 0.3%, and the S&P 500 down about 0.5% right now. We learned this morning that the number of people seeking first-time unemployment benefits from the government went in the wrong direction last week. It ticked up by 2,000 to 414,000. Economists look for a number below 375,000 to show that sustainable job growth is happening. And job growth is the subject of President Obama's speech tonight before Congress, and it's where we'll start as we continue with the breakdown. Our economy one step at a time. That's Marketplace's special look at jobs and getting America back to work. Diane Swonk is chief economist with Mesirow Financial. She's with us live now from Chicago. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Diane, first on the president's speech, let's talk about a dilemma that seems to be shaping up, which is that either the president might propose something that's so big it can't get through Congress, or he proposes something so small that it won't actually do much to create jobs.
That's exactly the problem. I think he will go somewhat big on his proposal, but we all know much of it's dead on arrival, as Republicans have already made clear. So not being able to think in this broader term of stimulus within the context of austerity has really hobbled fiscal policy for the moment.
All right. Well, what about the Fed? Chairman Ben Bernanke is speaking today, and some people are starting to talk about maybe he might actually announce some sort of new stimulus. What do you know about that?
Well, he's not going to announce anything new today, but I think he'll underscore what the Fed can do and then execute on that in September. One of the new things we're going to see that the Fed has talked about is something called Operation Twist, which, ironically enough, was done in the early 1960s and named after Chubby Checker's famous song, The Twist.
So, well, when I hear that the twist, I think, let's twist again like we did last summer. If this is a term that we're going to be hearing a lot of, the twist, tell us what it means. What is it?
Well, you know, it's not all that different from QE2, which we did have last summer, so there's some similarities, but it won't increase the Fed's balance sheet. What the Fed is going to do is sell short-term Treasury bonds and buy long-term to try to lower long-term bond yields. That's the goal. It was the goal of QE2, which we did see happen in the lead-up to QE2, and we're already seeing bond yields move down as traders and financial markets expect the Fed to do exactly that.
Why long-term? What does that do?
Well, what it does is it forces people out of the safety of not making bets on the future to placing bigger bets on the future of the U.S. in equity markets and other assets. The issue is to them to get out of safe, sort of concurrent day cash kind of investments into making long-term bets, riskier bets on the future, and that will help us to grow long-term.
One more quick thing, Diane. Here's Mitt Romney last night in the debate talking about Ben Bernanke.
I think Ben Bernanke has overinflated the amount of currency that he's created. QE2 did not work. It did not get Americans back to work. It did not get the economy going again. We're still seeing declining numbers in prior quarter estimates as to what the growth would be.
So does he have a point, Diane?
I think presidents and presidential candidates should stick to fiscal policy, not monetary policy. Ben Bernanke is one of the bravest men I know.
Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial. Thanks, as always.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
All this week, we're looking at how the 9/11 terror attacks have changed business and the economy. Today, we focus on cargo shippers. Their biggest concern for security used to be theft, not anymore, as Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
Everything about the Port of Los Angeles is larger than life. But for each cargo ship that looms like a skyscraper, there's now a tiny vessel tethered alongside.
That's one of our port police boats.
Ron Boyd is police chief at the port. He says since 9/11, police, Coast Guard, and other agencies tag along with cargo on the water. When the huge metal containers get plucked off the ships, more checks, some for suspicious cargo, others random. They don't look at everything, but they're looking much more closely.
They're going to go through with the X-ray machine and look at those containers intrinsically. They'll be able to tell if there's a small handgun in there.
There being a densely packed 40-foot container. Security scans for invisible threats, too, like radiation. Port Executive Director John Holmes says there's been a big post-9/11 learning curve.
There are a lot of products that give off radiation that are not dangerous. Kitty litter, bananas, ceramics.
But the most precious cargo is actually people, the tens of thousands of passengers who board cruise ships at ports. Since 9/11, scuba divers check cruise ship hulls for bombs. Sea marshals ride along with some partying passengers. Police Chief Boyd says seaports are not like airports. Here, the public doesn't see the added security.
Folks who are here on vacation, they don't necessarily want to see a heavy sense of security. So it is a little bit of a difference.
All the new security has cost millions. The huge scanning machines, new boats, hundreds of hidden cameras. Not to mention more workers on the payroll, says Port Executive John Holmes.
The port has created hundreds and hundreds of jobs in this area of security.
Some ports charge new fees to pay for it, or they've upped the rent for clients.
The new normal, that's the cost of doing business.
It's a cost that's here to stay. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And you can find all of our stories about how 9/11 has changed business and the economy in the 9/11 Legacy section of Marketplace.org. Tomorrow on this show, we'll look at how 9/11 has affected Muslim charities in the United States. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Consider Republicans and jobs. Yeah, everybody talks about Ronald Reagan, but what about this guy?
Warren G. Harding, who absolutely did nothing. He drank a lot, played a lot of golf. Rumors had it he had quite a few girlfriends, but he let markets work.
Oh, my. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Jobs and the GOP next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.